More Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. Today is supposed to be the last day of the 2024 Idaho legislature. And as lawmakers wrap up the state's business for another year, our morning edition host, George Prentice, sat down with Democratic Representative Brooke Green for her take on what did and did not happen during the session. And some of it was very personal for her. Let's take a listen.
What are you telling your constituents, or what will you tell your constituents about the 24 session?
Well, you know, if I were to reflect back on the last couple months, I would certainly say it's been contentious. Mm-hmm. I would say that there was a lot of unfortunate circumstances that played out, whether it be in our leadership or just in discussion and certain bills. And I honestly wouldn't say that to a high level that it was very successful. There's a lot of things that was left unanswered, a lot of bills that found themselves in the drawers. And so I would reflect back and say, you know, if we could have done it better, I think if we would maybe have been a little bit more civil to one another, and we could have actually been a more successful session as a result of that.
I'd like to talk about two pieces of legislation, what I might consider kitchen table issues, which is to say issues that speak to us where we live. One, and this goes back to mid-March, a piece of legislation regarding adoption. I saw you present this to committee and was a bit surprised to learn about the growing number of mediators or facilitators, but unlicensed in Idaho. What is going on, or what has been going on?
Several folks from the adoption community approached us. They highlighted several things in which we can make improvements to create a more streamlined process for adoptions. And one of the things that they highlighted were these unlicensed facilitators. And just to quickly recap, these facilitators oftentimes are the middlemen. Mm-hmm. These are the people who are working to help provide connections between the birth mom and the prospective parents.
Now, that sounds great.
Sounds like a fabulous idea. However, oftentimes, they can be unlicensed, and there is no stipulation in state statute that required that they do become licensed. And so essentially, you could have these middlemen, marketers, facilitators operating in California, and prospective parents who are eager just to find themselves, you know, and grow their family would work with that middleman, and that middleman would connect them to a prospective birth mom. There are no rules. There's no sideboards. There's nothing that requires them to work within a professional level of ethics. More importantly, what was happening and what we've seen occur, and several of our nonprofit adoption agencies, our for-profit adoption agencies, have had to deal with parents who went through this process, and it's thousands of dollars for these middlemen to play these connections. Mm-hmm. And as a result, there are some circumstances where one birth mother could be paired with several parents, prospective parents, and the several parents don't know. Mm. And so thus, in the end, the birth mother picks the parents, the middleman takes his cut, and then they still have to go and get all the legal pieces put together in the end. So it costs more money. There are no standards of ethics. There's no expectations that
And the heartbreak.
And the heartbreak for these parents who start this process. And it was brought to our attention by some adoption agencies who are like, we have to follow these standards. We have to be licensed. We provide all of these services. If these folks are going to participate in Idaho, there needs to be an expectation that they're licensed.
It seemed like a no-brainer. Indeed, there was some opposition. But the good news, and kudos to you, it did pass through the Senate and the House, and is about to become law.
You know, I'm thrilled to see this. Any way in which we can ensure adoption is easy, is seamless, and that both the birth mother and the parent, prospective parents find themselves in a position that it's a good experience, it's incredibly important. You know, we have 52 parents who are on the wait list in Idaho, eager to grow their families. Yeah. And any way we can kind of ensure that there's transparency in the process, that people who are participating in the process are of high ethical standards, that they're licensed, background checked, all of these things, large sums of money are exchanging hands as in some situations. We need to make sure that everybody is transparent in that process.
Well, let's talk about something that I think a lot of people know or have heard about, and that is in vitro fertilization. Earlier this year, of course, in the wake of the Alabama Supreme Court temporarily suspending the practice of IVF, A number of states have asked for or have drawn the line and saying, you know, not here. This is a bridge too far. And you tried to at least have a conversation about this. You asked for privilege to speak, and the speaker gave you that privilege. And then something happened, and I'd like for the two of us just to listen, and then we'll talk about it.
I recognize that this bill will only be read across the floor. It will get no hearing. It'll get no more attention. But to the many of Idaho families, there needs to be attention put on this issue. And so I ask, and I'm here today to talk and speak to that. I also know that...
Speaker?
Could you have 13?
Would you put the House at ease and have the majority and minority party in your office?
I don't think I can interrupt her because she's got the permission to proceed.
My bill codifies the protections of IVF into state statute. It codifies the ability that there will be no future attacks on it. Rest assured, there will be continued attacks on it. We see it nationally, and we see it here in Idaho. And I ask you guys to help our Idaho families continue to do that and protect the very doctors who conduct that procedure, who help us bring these babies into our lives.
Take your time. That's okay.
Pause for a second. Sorry.
Clearly, this is personal for you. Tell me when it's none of my business, but what are you thinking?
You know, What's so frustrating, and I'm blessed with the most beautiful son as a result of IVF. Mm-hmm. And I've, you know, been very outspoken about this, especially at the beginning portions of the session when it became apparent that there were going to be attacks on IVF. I know that this issue is incredibly personal, but more importantly, it is the conversation that's happening in our communities that if I were to reflect back on the session and say what was left on the table, it was protecting not only IVF, but protecting women's rights to their reproductive care. And this is one of those situations. At the beginning of the session, Representative Young brought forward the preborn bill, and it became apparent at that point, we are going to have an attack on IVF.
Basically, her legislation was to equate a fetus with personhood.
Absolutely. And at which point, you know, we look back and how did we define embryos in the process of IVF? A woman who goes through that process, it's one, and you can tell it's incredibly emotional, it's incredibly personal, and it's a roller coaster. And, you know, for the families who have to go through, and mind you, a lot of families in Idaho, I had so many people reach out to me through text or email and, you know, voicemail just saying thank you, thank you. And they confided in me their experience and what they're going through and how important it is that we protect this, and were thanking me for doing it. And to my good representative, John Vanderwaddy, he and I were already trying to tackle this issue mm-hmm. before Alabama happened. Mm-hmm. We were already trying to look forward a path to be able to codify a protection to state statute that ensured that IVF was protected, the doctors were protected, and the process was not going to get under attack in the future.
What happened? All of a sudden, that the carpet was pulled out and it never happened.
Well, the carpet was pulled out before the day I introduced that personal bill on the uh-huh. floor. So a personal bill, for those who may not be aware, a personal bill means there is no path forward. It's read across the desk. It sits in a drawer. It dies. There was no hearing in any committee, never got assigned anywhere. And I knew that when I introduced that personal bill, but I also wanted to take that opportunity to seek that privilege to speak about this issue publicly in a forum where my colleagues had to hear me.
Where's the disconnect on this? On IVF, I really understand why it's Dems versus GOP, because it's not.
It isn't. And many of my colleagues, had we had a bill forward to codify protections for IVF into state statute, would have voted for this. I cannot stress that enough. Yeah. How many of my Republican colleagues are like, we need to do something about this. What the disconnect was and what's happening is the existing abortion laws, as they stand, do not threaten IVF. And I want public mm-hmm. to know. Mm-hmm. Patients continue to go through your treatment. Doctors continue to provide your care. Does it impact the ability for the doctors to recruit? Absolutely. There was an attempt to recruit an embryologist, and I remember one of the doctors saying, we're having a tough time because we can't ensure their protection to come work in Idaho. So the workforce piece is a big piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. The disconnect happens to do about special interests. And we did have, so it was Pro-Life Idaho who did vocalize their concerns that they do not want to go to the level of codifying in-state statute of protection because we don't need to do it. In the hearing, the biggest concern is the discussion about when does life begin? And nobody wants to have that discussion in a public forum, in a hearing, to where we have to discuss, is that embryo a child, or is that embryo cells that when, you know, put in the, you know, inserted and become in the mom, becomes a child, right? When does life begin? Does it begin in the womb, or does it begin in the petri dish? Nobody wanted to have that conversation, and in particular, special interests did insert themselves in this conversation. But the public, the patients, the doctors, all of them want us to codify this. Just as much as they want us to codify protections for reproductive care in Idaho, this is one of those circumstances where we had a chance to codify something that's incredibly important, protections against future attacks, and they chose not to.
Is it a fair assumption that you are as motivated today and for next year as you were when you first walked through the door?
From day one until next year, this is incredibly personal. My son is the result of IVF. Mm-hmm. Many, many Idahoan families have grown their families via IVF, doctors, patients, and Idahoans. We all deserve protections. And with that being said, you know, we've seen some other things that have moved in the legislature that defines what a mom is and what a dad is. And so with that being said, in the attempts to define definitions of moms and dads, I guarantee IVF will be under attack. Representative Young mentioned that there is an intention, you know, she said in the Idaho Statesman article, to bring that bill back in the future because she doesn't believe it impacts IVF. Well, there's a lot of attorneys out there who says otherwise. That preborn bill passes, IVF in Idaho will be the same situation Alabama was.
That was Democratic Representative Brooke Green speaking to our Morning Edition host George Prentice about the end of this year's 2024 Idaho legislative session. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudet. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.